Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. Imagine a world where a drop pass isn't just a frustrating turnover on downs. It's an automatic penalty, a turnover, or even a touchback. Timothy Brown of footballarchaeology.com joins us to tell us about the punitive years of early forward passing in football and what was the consequences and how did they overcome it. Tim's up in just a moment to tell us all about it.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another exciting Tuesday where we get to go back in time and talk about some old-time football and what made the game it is today. Timothy P. Brown of footballarchaeology.com joins us. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Looking forward to chatting and making my life complete or incomplete or both, whichever.
Yeah, I think you'll be making a little bit more incomplete being on this podcast and with the topic of your recent tidbit, which you have called a look at early incomplete pass penalties. Yes. Incomplete pass penalties. That's a lot of a mouthful to say. Yeah. And I'm sure it's got quite a story to tell. So why don't you please share?
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things where you just almost, you can't imagine, you know, the early rules that so heavily restricted the forward pass. I mean, they were, you know, if you think about it, when 1906, they legalized forward pass, nobody knew how to throw the ball. I mean, just the sheer technique of throwing the ball, they had no sense of play design. How do you run a pass play? What do you do with the offensive linemen? What, you know, I mean, just things we just, like, they didn't have pass routes per se, right? They didn't have named pass routes. They didn't cut, you know. There's just things we consider so basic today that they hadn't figured out. They didn't figure it out in the first, during 2 days, right, of camp in 1906. It took a while. It took decades, you know, for many of those things to come. But one of the things that really held the forward pass back were the restrictions, the rule restrictions. So I just wanted to kind of cover those. And I'm going to, as I talk to you offline a little bit before we start a recording, I'm just going to kind of walk through a couple of different categories of rules that restricted the forward pass and related to incompletions, and just kind of walk through them and kind of how they changed over time. So one of them was there was like just a, like a basic, if you threw an incomplete pass that landed in the field of play, right? So not out of bounds, you know, not past the goal line. So in 1906, they legalized forward pass, but an incomplete forward pass was a turnover. You know, it was pretty much the same thing as like before they legalized it. If you threw a forward pass, it was a turnover. That was the penalty for an illegal forward pass. So that made sense, right? I mean, it was more or less the same thing as before. But that they realized right away that that was too restrictive. So the next year in 1907, they said, no, it's no longer turnover. An incomplete forward pass is a 15-yard penalty. However, if it hits a player, offense or defense, while it's in the air, it's treated, and then it hits the ground, it's treated as a fumble. So, basically, if you read newspaper descriptions from 1907, and for a few more years, you'll read about, well, they threw the forward pass, it was a fumble, and, blah, 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 right? So it just means it was either tipped by the defender or the offensive player touched it, but didn't catch it. So it was a live ball, and so mad scrambles to catch, get the ball. Then in 1910, they said, okay, we're no longer going to have a penalty for incomplete passes landing in the field of play. And the ball would be returned to the spot of the pass. Okay. But by 1910, they had made the pass, you had to throw a pass from at least 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So if you threw a pass that hit the ground, that meant that the ball was then positioned at least 5 yards back of the previous spot, right? And they realized, oh, okay, we screwed up. That's a bad rule. So then in 1911, they just returned it to the previous spot, which is the way it is today, right? So again, this is, I make an argument in my latest book, When Football, or when the When Football Came to Pass, that basically, I mean, they tried, but they really had no idea what they were doing when they legalized forward pass. I mean, it was just kind of a mess. They made a lot of dumb rules. They didn't foresee lots of things. They didn't foresee the need for pass interference penalties and that kind of stuff. So that's these are just examples of the progression, to make it less restrictive. So another
It's been kind of fascinating, though. You sit there and you think about it. If you watch your favorite team today and they step back the pass, there's almost a little bit of anticipation and angst. And if they catch it, you're delighted. If they drop it or it's incomplete, or even if they dump it out of bounds to save their skin, it's kind of disappointing. You're just kind of a letdown. You're like, oh, man, that's kind of a bummer, waste
but
of
they're not
time.
penalized.
Yeah, but you're not penalized. That's much worse earlier, football. Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of people who didn't want the forward pass to be there at all. So this was, their way of minimizing the impact of the forward pass on their beautiful, run it up the gut game. That was kind of, one of the things they did. So like another category of incomplete penalties was the forward pass crossing the goal line. So from 1906 to 1911, if the ball crossed the goal line on a fly or bounced or hit the goal post or a spectator behind the goal line, and was not caught, then it became a touchback. Right? So if either the defender or the well, if the offensive team didn't catch the ball behind the goal line, it was a touchback.
Maybe just some clarity for folks that don't listen regularly. There's no end zones at this point.
There is no end zone. In fact, I even messed that up. So any ball crossing the goal line was a touchback because you couldn't catch it behind the goal line. The offensive player could. So it didn't matter what, you hit somebody, you hit the goal post, touchback. Then in 1912, they said, oh, you can throw the ball and catch it across the goal line, and that's legal. But all the other things still applied. If it bounced, if it fell incomplete in the goal line, hit the goal post, hit a spec, well, by in 1912, they created the end zone, so presumably spectators were at least past the end line. But all the other conditions, if it fell incomplete beyond the goal line, it was still a touchback. And how long did that last for? When did they eliminate that rule?
2 years?
1934.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Huh.
crazy to think about that. You know, how long the
Yeah.
rule lasted.
And now
But
they're
I think
trying to bring it back in the NFL with the dynamic kick rule. They're having all the crazy stuff of the
I don't even pay attention to
ball
that.
goes.
Yeah, I mean, it really. So 1934 is a big year. I mean, in last week's podcast, or the week before, we talked about the change in size of the ball, and
Yeah.
they reduced the size of the ball in 34 to make it easier to pass. Well, they also eased some of the restrictive incomplete passing rules in 34. So one of them was all these silly things about, you know, the ball crossing the goal line and being incomplete, becoming a turnover, those got eliminated.
Well, now they had the smaller ball, they could fire it down there and get it to the goal line, maybe.
Yeah, I mean
Okay.
it. I don't know. They were crazy. Along the same lines, they had a rule like, you know, the pass became more popular, and despite all the, you know, still having a lot of restrictions. And in 1926, some people said, oh, we're passing too much, and people are flinging the ball all over the place. And so they said, the second, third, and fourth incompletions in a series. So, you know, in one set of four downs, second, third, and fourth incompletions were a 5-yard penalty. And so that came in 1926 and stayed till 1934. So again, one of those rules that got freed up in 34. And then the last set of these passing completion rules was, it's a bizarre, you know, kind of a bizarre one to current thinking, but in 1907, they made it so a pass that was thrown out of bounds, that so landed out of bounds on the fly. If it had bounced in bounds, then that whole falling in the field of play rule applied. But if it flew out of bounds, then the defensive team, it was a turnover, and the defensive team got the ball at the spot where it crossed the sideline, you know, much like a punt today.
Yeah.
And
Huh.
so what did teams do? Well, if they had a kid who could throw the ball deep instead of punting, and especially if they were in a kind of a coffin corner kind of situation where somebody could throw it more accurately than they could punt, you know, you're on the 40, you just say, okay, let's let Billy throw that ball. And Billy would rear back, throw the ball downfield out of bounds, you know, inside the five or inside the 10. And that's where the team, you know, that's where the defense got the ball because it went out of bounds on the fly, right? And then that stayed in place until 1915 when they got rid of a couple, you know, rules like that, and they made intentional grounding illegal, you know, those kind, you know, 14 or 15 that they did that. So anyways, it's just things that we just take for granted today in terms of the treatment of a forward pass. And we know it's risky, the whole thing. Well, there's three things that can happen, you know, three things can happen, and two of them are bad. Well, back then it was more like five things can happen and four of them are bad, you
More like, yeah, like 10 things are bad and you
know.
only have four options.
So yeah, so I mean, it's just you know, if you ever wonder why the game remains so running oriented and just teams didn't pass as often, it was rules like this. It just, you know, the powers that be wanted the game to be more of a running game. That's the flavor they preferred, and so they set up rules to maintain that. And eventually they figured, you know, the fact of the matter is people found the forward pass to be a really exciting, fun play, and it gave lesser teams a chance to compete, and they loved it. And so, you know, that's why the rules changed.
Yeah, I think it's such a beautiful marriage of the two disciplines between a running and a passing game. And, you know, even to this day, you know, the standard is, you know, the perfection of your offense is to have be a 50-50 split between your running and your passing. So the running play, the very beginning of football is still the fundamental part of it. And you run to set up to pass. You know, it's a common terminology. It's just beautiful how
Or
across
pass to
many
set up
teams.
the
Right. And
run.
play action and RPOs and everything are based off that of sharing those two and keeping a defense off balance. And it's just it's a beautiful thing. That's why it's such a fun game.
And it's but that came about, it took a century, to get
Right.
there, right? And just attitudes had to change, and the ball had to change, just so many things had to change. And but I mean, I mean, as much as like I still really love watching, I grew up, I'm a Wisconsin fan, and so the old Wisconsin, so not so much the recent years, but the old pound it and we're gonna just run at you and beat you, I still love that style of football. But I love watching the Canadian game and the way they fling that ball all over on the wider field. I think that's really fun. I mean, I if you're good at it, I don't care what style you run, right? Just be good at it, execute it well, and win, right? However
Well, enjoy this last month and a half or so of the Canadian game
you
because it's changes are coming, it sounds like.
go. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, Tim, this is some fascinating stuff. It's always great to hear, about the roots of football and how things fundamentally started and how they evolved over the years. And you do this a lot in your tidbits, and it's really exciting as a football fan to look at these things. And you do your research on it very diligently and give, excerpts from experts, 100 some years ago and everything else, newspaper articles, whatever, what have you. And you share them in your tidbits. Maybe you could tell folks how they can find your tidbits.
Just go to footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack site, and sign up. You'll get an email every time that I send out a new story, or just go to the site anytime you want. Follow me on Blue Sky, kind of whatever floats your boat.
All
That's
right. Well,
the
it
way to
definitely
find.
floats our boat, or we wouldn't be coming to this channel and watching you and me talk about football every week. And so definitely have some interest in football history. And we have so much interest. We would love to invite you back next week to talk about some more.
I'll be happy to show up whenever you name a time and a place.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.